In conclusion, please remember this point. Because Krishna has this boy-girl affair tendency, therefore we have it. But Krishna never goes outside of himself to satisfy himself. He has his Aladini Shakti, his pleasure potency, which manifests as his suitable loving partner. We don't have that. Therefore, on the material platform, when we endeavor to fulfill our love, we've got to go outside of ourself. And that's why there's so many problems. Krishna is self-sufficient in his love. He's not dependent on anyone. He has his energies which manifest his satisfaction for him. Therefore, he's always self-sufficient. We can only be self-sufficient in connection to Krishna. We cannot be self-sufficient in loving affairs on our own. We cannot even be successful on our own trying to establish loving affairs with other living entities. Only if Krishna is the via medium. All right. Are there any questions? Yes.
Hare Krishna Maharaj. Maharaj, we see a fight in material world also. So it is called as perverted reflection of spiritual world. Fight. So in spiritual world also, is there any fight or like that?
Oh yes. Krishna is the expert not only at loving, but also fighting. Yes. Don't think Krishna is one-sided. He enjoys every kind of way. When he was a three-month-old baby, he was killing. Three-month-old baby, a killer. He knew just how to kill Putana. She came to him with poison-smeared breasts. So Krishna said, all right, she can nurse me, but I'll also kill her in the most perfect way. Not only will I suck her milk, but I'll suck out her life too. Three-month-old baby. He didn't have to grow up to be God. At every stage, at every moment of Krishna's appearance in this world, he demonstrated he's the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Whether as a baby or as a teenager, same potencies. So there's an example. What about Aristasura, the bull demon? Little Krishna knew exactly how to kill Aristasura. You control a bull by the horns. So he grabbed Aristasura by the horns and threw him on the ground. Keshi demon, the horse demon, charged wildly at Krishna to kill him. And what did Krishna do? Stuck out his arm with a fist and put his fist down the horse's throat. Automatically, Krishna knew, you control the horse through the mouth. That's why, you know, the horses, when they have a wagon pulling, they have the bit in their mouth and the driver controls the horse through the mouth. So Krishna knew that. He didn't have to learn. He's a young child, but he knows how to kill the horse demon. Put my fist down your throat, you'll suffocate. This is God. Not simply dancing with the gopis in the forest. So many books about Indian folklore say that Krishna is the Hindu forest god. And they always have some picture of Krishna dancing with his consorts. That's not the only thing he does. He also can show the perfection of killing. He can show the perfection of playing with his friends. They wrestle. They steal each other's lunch. All sorts of things. Krishna is the best playmate. What did Shukadev Goswami say in the Srimad Bhagavatam about the cowherd boys who played with Krishna? Itam satam brahma sukhanubhuja. Some think that this boy who's playing with these cowherd playmates is the Brahma Sukha, the Brahman effulgence. They may think like that. Anyway, he's Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Dasham Katanam, Padadayavadena. The devotee servitors, they know him as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the Supreme Authority. Still, he's Gopal, he's the cowherd boy Krishna. Mayashratanam, Naradarakena. The fools think he's just an ordinary person. So what is Shukadeva Goswami wondering about? Sakam vajahu kita punya punja. How many pious activities did these cowherd boys perform to get a chance to play with Lord Krishna? No amount of pious activities can give you that goal. But because in a civilized society, punya, pious activities are like the currency that everything is measured in. Therefore, Shukadeva Goswami is speaking like that. How many pious activities? That's a way of measuring the impossible. So Krishna does all these things perfectly. Killing, romancing. When he played his flute, and the gopis raced to the forest to meet Krishna in the middle of the night. What did Krishna say? Oh, why are you here? The most beautiful women. And Krishna said, okay, you've come, now go home. Displaying the perfection of renunciation. Even when Krishna flees the battlefield as Rancharji, it is glorious. Ordinarily, if someone flees the battlefield as a coward, he's condemned by society. But when Krishna leaves the battlefield, we sing his glories, especially Gujarat, so many temples of Rancharji. Where else do you go, or who else do you know that is glorified for fleeing the battlefield? Well, this is Krishna. And why did he flee the battlefield? Was it because he was afraid of Jarasandha? No. He had better things to do. He had beaten Jarasandha in battle so many times. On this occasion, he's thinking, I have a letter from Rukmini I should look into. So he left the battlefield in order to meet up with his eternal consort, Rukmini Devi. Our loving propensity is satisfied when we're hearing about Krishna. Krishna is the enlivener of the senses. We're all so worried about our senses. Will my senses be satisfied? Govinda, his very name, lets you know. I'm the stimulator and enlivener of your senses. Hear about me. Talk about me. Serve me. Then you'll experience the fulfillment of your loving propensity. Yes?
Hare Krishna, Maharaj, can I ask second question also?
Well, I shouldn't give them a chance? So.
All right. Hare Krishna Prabhuji. I'll slightly drift from our current topic. Since Krishna is the supreme lord of the entire universe, there's a slight question I want to ask. I was reading Mahabharata of Krishna Dvaipayan Vyas. And towards the, I think the last few pages of the first chapter, Krishna asks Indra to grant him the boon. He asks Indra, the lord of the heavens, to grant him the boon that his friendship with Arjun be eternal. Since Krishna is the supreme lord of the entire universe, how can Indra grant a boon to him?
Krishna likes to show how he has a relationship with his devotees. Why is he driving the chariot of Arjuna? Chariot driver is not the prestigious position. The warrior in the back of the chariot has the prestigious position. But Krishna drives the chariot of Arjuna. He likes to show that he's depending on his devotees. It's part of his enjoyment. You're thinking that it's always pleasure to be in control. But Krishna is the full, complete personality of Godhead. He will enjoy being in control, and he will also enjoy voluntarily coming under the control of his devotees. That is Om Purnam, perfect and complete. So we have this idea that God can only enjoy by dancing, or God can only enjoy by commanding. But in Krishna, you see everything there in full, perfect and complete. You yourself, you don't like to be in charge all the time. You would like it if someone you trusted gave you some orders. Later, when you have a family, you'll see. Anything else?
Hare Krishna. Maharaj, you have been talking about Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. What about the other faiths like Jesus and Allah?
There is God, and then there are the representatives of God. As far as Jesus Christ, we accept him as Guru. He taught love of God. He was always referring to his Father. And Muhammad, he taught that we are all the servants of God. God has unlimited names. Lord Chaitanya himself has said that. Nam namakari bahuda nija sarva shakti. So, why are we stressing Krishna? Because Krishna is the most expansive and comprehensive understanding of the science of God. Understanding Krishna means understanding God as the supreme enjoyer and supreme lover. Not simply God as order supplier. That is religion in the mode of passion. Oh God, give me this, give me that. Not God as impersonal. That is mode of goodness religion. He is the everything. So I'll merge with him and I'll become the everything too. No, the transcendental understanding of the science of God is to know Krishna as the supreme enjoyer. According to the people's capacity in different parts of the world, the Lord sends his representatives to give them some level of understanding in Bhagavad Dharma. But now you have the opportunity for the full science of God. Therefore, you should be so careful to take advantage of this opportunity. We have some questions here.
Yeah. Swamiji, I see a lot of youngsters here who came to listen to you. That gives me a sort of encouragement. That youngsters are interested in spiritual sort of things. But since you are a globetrotter, you have traveled all over the world. What is the reason you see that brings these youngsters to such sort of gatherings? Is it the insecurity? Is it the restlessness that they face today? Or what is this that brings them together?
They are very fortunate to come here. They have found a place by the guidance of Lord Krishna in the heart. They have found a place in which they can receive the instruction and association for making their life perfect. Whether they are going to be brahmacharis in the ashram or practicing Krishna consciousness at home, I have no doubt that here they will get the finest opportunity available for advancing to the ultimate goal of life. Yeah. here is at the forefront of lifestyle engineering in India. And there is a constant effort to train future lifestyle engineers here, future lifestyle management experts. And this way things simply increase. What I'm doing, this is not one person's job. What the other teachers that you see here, it's not just their job. You will also be doing this. And that is the greatest love you can show for all living entities. Teach them how to satisfy their loving propensity by connecting it to Krishna.
Hare Krishna Maharaj. Maharaj, you were talking about our society being bombarded with consumerism and various other things that are illegal things that are going around in the society. Now, my question is, for a person, for a devotee who is following the Krishna consciousness, how can he overcome these obstacles? Of course, we chant and we associate with our with the other devotees. So this gives us certain opportunity to be in the devotional service of Krishna. But again, we are also indulged in materialistic activities because we are working professionals, we are students, and there are times where we have to indulge with people who are not in Krishna consciousness. How do we overcome these obstacles?
We are following Rupa Goswami, Nirbandha Krishna Sambandhe, Yukta Vairagya Muchyate. We are practicing real renunciation, which means not denying the energy of this world, but using it for Krishna's pleasure. The more that you use things for the pleasure of Krishna, the more you'll stay free from contamination. Not by just, no, I cannot touch that. No, it is a thing of this world. It is matter. That's the failure we discussed about if you simply try to control your senses, you'll fail. On the other hand, if you try to be the enjoyer of things, you'll fail. Bhakti yoga means yukta vairagya, proper renunciation, expert renunciation, using everything in Krishna's service. That's what makes it so exciting. Otherwise, you cannot claim proprietorship over anything in this world, nor can you renounce it. It's not yours. Suppose you're walking with me, and I don't know, maybe they have a branch of Citibank here in Mumbai. Probably they do. So I'm walking with you in front of Citibank, and I tell you very sincerely, this is Citibank. I'm renouncing it. I'm giving it up. You will look at me like I'm crazy. It's not yours. How can you give it up? How can you renounce it? Everyone knows you don't own Citibank. Well, similarly, how can you actually renounce anything of this world? You cannot claim proprietorship and you cannot give it up. Bhakti yoga means you use everything for Krishna's pleasure. And in that way, you can remain free from contamination even while acting within the material world. That is the secret. The more the elements of your life are engaged for Krishna's pleasure, the more you'll be perfect in Krishna consciousness. So this is the quest. And this is why we need lifestyle counselors to give us advice how to use everything truly for Krishna's pleasure. Anything else?
Pranam Swamiji. If you take all the other religions like Hindu, Muslim, Christian, in Christian, they almost have one entity as God, and in Muslim, they almost have one entity of God. But what is the need in Hinduism to have so many demigods that we really confuse among ourselves to which God we can believe?
Very nice question. You notice in Bhagavad Gita, there's no confusion. You probably noticed that, right? Krishna talks about the devas, the demigods, And he simply says, yes, they exist. Now give everything to me. Now what is the difficulty? Krishna presents the truth that he's the chief, he's the supreme personality of Godhead. He says, you give to me. If you give to the devas, it's illegal. You're not following the system. You give to me. Those who are less intelligent, kamaistaistaya hitagana, prapajantanya devata, those who have distorted brains influenced by lust, they'll worship the devas, but actually it's all meant for me. So in Bhagavad Gita, which is the standard for spiritual knowledge, Krishna tells you what to do. So it's not confusing. It's very clear. Even if you think that throughout Bhagavad Gita, Krishna has said so many things, karma yoga, jnana yoga, jhana yoga, sankhya yoga, even if you think it's confusing, which it isn't, take the last thing that Krishna said in chapter 18. Sarva dharmam pratyaja mam ekam sharanam vraja. Abandon all your concoctions of what is dharma and just do what I say. Very unconfusing, isn't it? Suppose on Monday I say you should fly to Calcutta. On Tuesday I say you should fly to Madras. And today I say you should fly to Delhi. You take the last thing I said, if you are confused. So if you think that there's some confusion in Bhagavad Gita, which there isn't, but if you think there is, you take the last thing Krishna said. What is the problem? You see, Krishna operates above a nested hierarchy of consciousness. I've explained this point in my book, Searching for Vedic India, because in the West, not only in India, but outside of India, the people are given this impression that, oh, Hinduism, they worship so many gods. My mother is a Christian, so she's always telling me this. Oh, you're still involved in that Hinduism. Oh, there's so many gods they worship. And if this is the impression that they get when they study Hinduism at the universities. I know I tried during my university days to study Hinduism, and this is what the professor said. Hinduism is polytheistic. The Krishna cult is actually composed of many sub-cults. There's the Govinda Krishna, there's the Vasudev Krishna, there's the Narayan Krishna, all different persons. And what happened to make the Bhagavat Purana, this is what they explain in universities. I've explained this in my book, Searching for Vedic India. That what the very clever brahmanas of ancient India did was recognize that there were so many splinters worshipping so many gods, the clever brahmanas, in order to have the biggest mass market appeal, cobbled together a master religion. And they put everything under this Krishna in Bhagavat Purana to capture the whole population. Yes, that's what they explain in universities. So, yes, I can understand on the one hand that there can be some confusion, but if you properly read Bhagavad Gita, there is never any confusion. And the problem in India is that people often are not getting a clear, authentic understanding of Bhagavad Gita. This is the problem. India is not simply meant to be the world's provider of hardware and software engineers. If somehow or other the people could get that point to their heads. Of course, you know, when Clinton was president, he came to Delhi and he immediately announced, oh, we're increasing the visa quota for software engineers by 100,000. Come on, we'll take all you've got. That's what they think of India. Yeah, yes. They're very good workers. They don't get drunk on the job. They don't have illicit affairs on the job. Yes, bring them over. Actually, India is meant to produce the world's finest lifestyle managers who can teach others how to live in a way that's free from contamination and how to live for connecting their loving propensity effectively to Krishna. That's there in Bhagavad Gita. But the problem is, rarely are people getting authentic Gita knowledge. Therefore, Prabhupada gave us Bhagavad Gita as it is, not Bhagavad Gita as we would like it to be. I'm sure you've heard many versions of Bhagavad Gita as you would like it to be. Yeah? In Gita, Krishna says, just do your duty, that's all that counts. You do your duty, that's it, that's bhakti. I'm sure you've heard this, yes? In Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says there are many gods and you can serve any god and everything will be all right. This is Bhagavad Gita as we would like it to be. Or in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says we should be quiet, or he says we should be this or that. That's it. That's the message of Gita. No. In Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, always think of me, become my devotee. Manmana bhava mad bhakto. Everything becomes crystal clear when you quote Bhagavad Gita. And then for further stimulating your loving propensity for Krishna, you have Srimad Bhagavatam, Chaitanya Charitamrita. How late should we go? Who's the MC here? All right. You tell us when we should stop. Okay, yes?
In this world, the Krishna's names are also different names, like as a Makhanchor, Shyam, or any other as Krishna. But in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna also tells to Arjuna that when you are in the last moment of your death, when you are count your last breath, when you go, you tell me my name, of your original name, you can also, after death, you can meet me. That's my question is, what is the original name of Krishna?
You want to know what is the original name for Krishna? Actually, Krishna has no name. Why? Because he has unlimited activities. And his name manifests according to his activities. But his activities are eternal. And therefore, Krishna's names are eternal. So, the Shastra explains that of all the unlimited names of Krishna, because he has unlimited activities, he has unlimited names, of all the unlimited names, Krishna is the chief name. Because Krishna reveals, the name Krishna reveals the Lord in his enjoying capacities. His capacity as the most intimate reciprocator of loving affairs. But if you want to chant Rama, go ahead.
Not so you say Mama is like a Krishna name. But sir, Krishna also tell that you can give my name. This is if Krishna said that you can give my name, so it is only that only one name is can a Krishna. It is in the whole world. Krishna also tell in Bhagavad Gita that that is when Arjuna is in war ground. There is a Krishna tell this, you and me also give a birth before the Mahabharata any more time, that is before Mahabharata, Krishna's name was not a Krishna or not like any other. So what is the original name? If we can say that my name is one, so is definite that is a Krishna is a one name. So what is this name, sir? Not like any physical name.
No, Krishna's name is never material. Padma Purana, you know? You have read Padma Purana? Nama Chintamani Krishna, Chaitanya Rasa Vigraha, Purna Shuddha Nitya Muktam, Abhinattan Nama Namino. This is there in Padma Purana. The holy name of Krishna is like touchstone. It is the form of all blissful spiritual mellows, Chaitanya Rasa Vigraha. Purna Shuddha Nitya Mukta. It is full, complete. There's nothing missing in Krishna's name. Is perfect and it is eternally free from material contamination. Nitya Mukta. Why? Abhinatta nama namino, because Krishna's name is not different from Krishna. You take that and you chant Hare Krishna, you'll be alright. You'll understand everything. You want to understand Krishna's name? Yes or no? Yes? And then you chant every day, you'll understand that Krishna is not different from his name. That is Lord Chaitanya's recommendation. Krishna comes as his own devotee and demonstrates how to chant Hare Krishna. So you do that and you'll understand Krishna. Understanding Krishna begins with the tongue. Everyone says, I want to see God. But you can hear God. Why you're emphasizing the eyes only? You have other senses. So, also you can hear Krishna. In fact, before you see him, you can hear. You do like that. You'll understand. Every day you chant the holy name of the Lord, then everything will become clear to you. You'll do that? All right. You promise? Okay. I will remember.
Hare Krishna Maharaj. Krishna. Krishna and his incarnation took birth in India only. Is it?
Just by being part of this temple, you can affect the whole world. Because these days, there's so much multimedia, there's so many ways you can reach out to people without having to travel there yourself. Or, simply by your working, you can support the worldwide activities that happen here. And you'll get the credit, because you're supporting. You'll do that? I'm not supposed to ask these questions, are I? No, you know, the sadhus are just supposed to explain and never ask. Anything else?
Yes, Maharaj. I want to ask that you said that we have loving propensities because Krishna has boy and girl loving relationships. And he manifests his Ladini Shakti very well. That's why he doesn't have to go outside. Then what is that Ladini Shakti?
Krishna has his dearmost devotee. And she is completely equipped for satisfying Krishna. So when you say Radha Krishna, you are referring to Krishna and his pleasure potency. Or when you say Sitaram or Lakshmi Narayan, first the name of Krishna's pleasure potency is there. Sitaram, Lakshmi Narayan, Radha Krishna. When a devotee achieves pure love of Krishna, what actually happens is that the Lord is bestowing his Haladini Shakti upon the devotee. And therefore the devotee can experience what is love of Krishna. Another way of saying that is that Krishna's dearest devotee, Srimati Radharani, becomes pleased with a devotee and recommends that devotee to Krishna. Krishna, this devotee is much better than me. You please accept the devotee. Anything else?
Hare Krishna. Maharaj here. Maharaj, you said that real love is loving Krishna. But we are in a world full of bombardment. Bombardment from TV serials, internet, media, young girls all around us. It seems practically impossible to control attraction. So how do we shift attraction to Krishna?
If every morning you chant your japa with attention, you'll find that you are protected throughout the day. The one main problem that we may have is that we don't understand the number one spot in our life that the japa should occupy. But if you actually try to give your japa the pride of place in your life, the number one slot in your life, then you'll see that the whole day comes together for you, and that you will find that you are protected against the onslaughts of material nature. Everything depends on our cultivation of the holy name. That's why when you come here in the morning, you'll see that the devotees are very seriously chanting their japa. That way they attract Krishna's attention. Yes, this is my serious devotee. This devotee is serious about serving me. I will protect him throughout the day. Not only will I protect him, but I will open his eyes to newer and newer opportunities and ways of serving me. That is the life of a devotee. Very exciting. So yes, there are so many things out there. But if you are focused on the holy name of Krishna and using everything in your life for Krishna's pleasure, then you will not be capsized by these things. Just like for me, if it gets too hot in India, it's a great disturbance. But for you, you just go about your affairs. You don't stop going to your work or school or whatever when it's too hot, do you? Anyone here? I cannot go to work today, it's too hot. So it's a little bit annoying, but still you go about your affairs. So similarly, yes, there will always be things bombarding us, but if we're focused on serving Krishna, then we'll just go on with our bhakti yoga. And more the disturbances will fade in the background. Of course, if you really want to be safe from the young girls, you can become a brahmachari here.
Prabhuji, Hari Bol. I want to ask one thing. Since we were discussing the multiple faces of the God, so I just want to ask why the God has made so many faces. Is he like a corporate who has employed so many persons to work under him, or is there any other relation?
Because Krishna is the supreme enjoyer, he enjoys in unlimited ways, therefore he comes in unlimited forms. He even comes as the supreme personality of Godhead woman, Mohini Murti. And he bewilders Lord Shiva. He can come as a boar, he can come as a horse, he can come as a fish. All for his pleasure. Why should you simply expect Krishna to enjoy in one way? He enjoys in unlimited ways. He even comes as his own devotee, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, to enjoy what it's like to be a devotee. Because you see, the devotee actually enjoys more than the Lord. But Krishna is the supreme enjoyer. Therefore he says, okay, the devotee enjoys more than me, I'll come as my own devotee, and I'll still be the supreme enjoyer. That is Lord Chaitanya. Is motherly love the highest love in the world? If yes, then she stops us to join this Hare Krishna movement. Then what should we do to forget motherly love? If you understand that by serving Krishna, you are giving the greatest benefit to your mother, then you will not be troubled. If your mother can consciously understand that you're serving Krishna, that is very good. But maybe she cannot, but still she will get the benefit by your rendering of devotional service. So you need to become more convinced about that. You certainly should not, needless to say, go out of your way to alienate your mother. At the same time, you have to be practical. How to show your mother the best love. The best love that you can show anyone is by you serving Krishna and then arranging that they serve Krishna. That's the best thing you can do. If you can arrange that your mother does some service, knowingly or unknowingly, then you have given her the greatest love. I'll tell you, I know. Once, I wanted to go to India when I was a young brahmachari. And I didn't have any money. And I knew the only way I would get to the holy dham to see Srila Prabhupada was if my mother gave me some money and I could fly from Los Angeles to Mayapur. So I thought, my mother is very attached to me. I am her oldest son. What can I do? I opened Chaitanya Charitamrita because, as Gauranga mentioned before in his introduction, that I was working on this special team that Srila Prabhupada had for producing his Chaitanya Charitamrita volumes, 17 in 2 months. So I remember there was a section in Chaitanya Charitamrita Madhya Leela where Lord Chaitanya has to pacify his mother because he had just come to Navadvip and Shantipur for the first time since taking sannyas. So his mother was going to see him for the first time with shaved head in the clothes of a sannyasi. And so it was such an emotional situation. She's seeing her darling Nimai as a sannyasi. So what did Lord Chaitanya tell her? He said, "Mother, this body comes from you. It's yours. That will always be the truth. Somehow or other, in madness, I've taken sannyas, but still, I will not abandon you." So I just took those verses from Chaitanya Charitamrita and I sent them to my mother. Immediately, I got back in courier post a big check for going to Mayapur Dham. My mother is Christian, but she got the benefit of sending a devotee to Mayapur Dham. She did devotional service. Sometimes she writes me checks, even to this day. Yeah, and she puts on the check for shoes, not for Krishna. She doesn't understand that whatever she does for me personally, if I'm engaged in devotional service, she's going to get credit. She's supporting devotional service. So even though she doesn't know, still she's getting such highest benefit. Maybe in this life, she will not take up full-time devotional service. But certainly in the next life, which is sure to come, she will have a very advantageous position for rendering bhakti yoga. That is real love.
Haribol Prabhuji, who is Allah and what is the spiritual level of Muslims? Like, Allah is any pastime of Krishna? Who is Allah and Allah is any pastime of Krishna or any face of Krishna like Jesus?
There are different levels of God realization. Jesus called himself the Son of God. And he was referring to God the Father, who gives us our maintenance. He taught Christians to pray, "Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Give us this day our daily bread." Very simple prayer. Allah refers to God in his capacity as controller, master, the Great One. These are levels of understanding of the Supreme. What you have here is the highest understanding. Yashoda Nandana, Brajajana Ranjana, Nanda Nandana, Partasarti, Govinda. You have knowledge here of the Lord's personal activities and qualities. Even in Islam, they have a list of qualities of Allah. But when you turn to Nectar of Devotion, Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, you will find the most intimate personal qualities of the Lord, all explained. So it's all a difference of levels of understanding. Now you have the opportunity to get the most comprehensive understanding. So you should take that. For example, you are asking me questions. Now, I don't know you, other than you're here and you must be interested in Krishna. So suppose I say, that man there. Am I wrong? That man there who just asked the question. Am I wrong to say that? No, you are a man. Or I could become more precise. That young man. Or I could say, you know, that very handsome man. Or very intelligent man. That shows I may have some knowledge of you. It's not wrong. But obviously there's much more that I could know about you. So we never say that the knowledge of Christianity or Islam is wrong. Of course we don't say that. But we do say that there's much more knowledge that you can have. And the more you know about the Supreme, the more you can love. Okay? Not everyone is on the same level of spiritual development. There are so many different universities in India. Why is there IIT? Why? If one of your relatives went to IIT, wouldn't you be happy ordinarily? Yes. Yeah, my cousin goes to IIT. But there's so many other schools. So similarly, if you have the opportunity to get the highest knowledge of God, why don't you take it? Recognizing there are other places you can get smaller understanding. We're not criticizing. But if you can go to the place where you get everything, then you go there. And don't worry so much about the others. If you are going to IIT, then why are you wondering what some five-year-old is doing and, you know, and with his chemistry set? Right? Okay. Okay.
We would like to thank His Holiness Devamrita Swami Maharaj for inspiring all the students and young boys here with his most wonderful presentation on this very intriguing topic. Definitely it attracted a lot of students to come, and I am sure that all of you will leave this place fully satisfied. I would like to express on behalf of all the assembled students here our heartfelt thanks to His Holiness Devamrita Swami Maharaj. Hari Bol! Hari Bol! Hari Bol!